you are too sure that you are a child of God, come on, come on, come on. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Woo! Give five people a high five. Tell them I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Please take your seat this morning. Praise God. And that is our confidence. Our children of God, man, we have nothing to fear. Hallelujah. We have what? Nothing to fear. Listen, fear only comes for one reason, or by one reason. Fear comes when you lose the consciousness that God is with you. That's what brings fear. And that's exactly what we take fear away, when you become conscious of the fact that God is with you. All right? We did a whole series of for that some time ago. You can still get it if you're still dealing with fear. Fear of any kind, whether it's fear of the future or fear of the devil or any fear, it all boils to one thing. Whenever you lose consciousness of God being with you, you are afraid. You are afraid of your future. You are afraid of money. You are afraid of your bills because you don't know God is there. The moment you also build that consciousness that God is with you, fear goes. The Bible said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I fear no evil. Why? Because what? Thou with me. Hallelujah. So it's not what you're going through that matters. It's who is with you when you're going through it. Hallelujah. If God is with you, it doesn't matter what it is, you will come out well. Somebody get what I'm saying? Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. All right. We've been doing the big four. How many have been having a great time? Hallelujah. The big four are basically four things that can change anybody's life. Listen, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. It doesn't even matter. These four things will change your life if you can apply them. The first one is the power of vision. The power of seeing a better place than where you are. What depresses most people most times is that they can't see a better place. So they are stuck with what they are seeing. They think their present condition is the only condition. The moment you start to see a better place, a better way, a better life, then it will make your present life tolerable because you will know it's a temporary phase. Somebody get what I'm saying? So you will not be downcast. You will not give up because you know it's just a temporary phase. Hallelujah. A time is going to come. You even remember what it was like to be in this stage where you were. You won't remember. I'm telling you. I can't remember the last time I did some things. I can't remember. It's been so long. And there was a time that was my normal way of life. But right now, I can't even relate. Somebody get what I'm saying? There are people here. A time is coming. You will never be able to relate with what it means not to have money. There are people here. A time is coming. You will never be able to relate with what it is to be paying rent. You will not remember. Somebody get what I'm saying? There are people here, time is coming, you will not remember what it's like to enter bike. You will not remember. A time is coming, you will not remember what it's like to live in a place where when it's raining, it's flooding. A time is coming, sir, where you will not be able to relate to the sound of generator. See, Listen very carefully. That's what I'm telling you. This big four, I'm telling you, these four things, they can change your life. The first one is the power of vision. God showing you, God inspiring you, you catching a dream of something better. You might not know how it's going to happen. That is not your business. Go and get the message. I don't want to waste time to preach it. You know, I mentioned now that you know sound of generator. It sounds odd. The place I live, It's not. I don't own the house, so don't get me wrong. But the place I live, I've lived there for about 4 years. I've not had a generator. I don't have inverter for 4 years, sir. I dreamt it that it will happen like that. I hate that generator sound. So I can live in America even though I'm in Nigeria. Do you understand? You don't know those generators polluted air? My brother, dream. Don't look at me. I'm in Nigeria here with you. But when you dream, see, you need to understand, God never backs down. He said, as far as your eyes can see. So we are the ones always negotiating for God. Say, God, okay, if the man can't have sense, let him have small sense. If I want to marry, if he's not rich, let him. Stop negotiating down for God. Just set your dream. Leave the fulfillment to him. Somebody get what I'm saying? I can give you gist. But I'm just trying to tell you, look, God is a fulfiller of dreams. Once you dream it, I don't want to have generator. Because you'll be buying diesel, you'll be buying fuel, then you'll be servicing it. You know generator, some days, the day you need it the most, as if they plan it, it will not just work. Not to count the torture of when you, after you just own it. You know. I've been there. And my own generator was at the back. So after he come down from upstairs, go to the back and on it. Then after he just enter the bed and put TV out, they don't bring light. Woo! There's some days after you go back and off it and go back up, they take the light. So I dreamt that one day I will live somewhere in this Nigeria. So if Nigeria is not ready yet to have 24-hour light, God is ready to provide it for me. That's how God works. I explained to you that first day that, see, God can be have an agenda for a country and have a separate agenda for an individual in that country. We read all these things. Go and get the message. I don't want to preach the whole message of first Big Four. Go and get it. I taught all those things there. Now, in the place I live, I was telling, apart from the, I didn't want, now, see the interesting thing, sir. I wanted 24 hours power. It was the month I moved into the place that they started 24 hours power in the estate. The month I moved in there. Not only that, when I was living, where I was living before, I used to play tennis with my friends. So I was moving to a new area. I said, tennis is the only exercise I do. I need tennis. It was that same month too that I moved into the estate. They started building tennis courts that month. It's a coincidence, Abi. Be there. Me, I'll be here. Doing my own coincidence. Go and rest. I've seen this thing work too much. I've worked with this God 20-something years. I'm not telling you theories. These are things I'm living. Now, if you don't want to believe it, it's okay. It's okay for you. Because your own truth is determined by what you believe. It's a blessed is she that believeth. There will be a personal performance to him. If you believe there's no money in Nigeria, it's true. In your own Nigeria. In my own Nigeria, there's money. You believe there are no jobs, it's true. In your own Nigeria. There's no lights in Nigeria. It's true in your area. Not in my area. There's no security. Yes, in your area. In my area, there is. Somebody get what I'm saying, sir? You're free to dream. That's your greatest asset. It's as far, that's God's promise. As far as your own eyes can see, I won't back down. I'm not the one that will back down. That's what God is saying. If you can dream it, and walk with me. If you can dream it and walk in obedience. We did all this that first day. I don't want to go into it. So please get the message if you don't have it. Even if you were here, hear it again. There are some things I can't hear only once. Oh. Day two is faith. That's the second big four. He said, whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. He said, by faith, the elders got a good report in their own time. So if you, in your own time, want to come out with a good report, you too need to lay hold on faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that come to him must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of them. Faith. Total reliance on God. You refuse to bow to whatever anybody is saying. You refuse to bow to whatever doctors are saying. You refuse to bow to whatever the economists are saying. You believe only what God says. For we live by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Get that message too. Tell your neighbor, get the messages.
And the good thing is that it's free. If you download it, it's free. I mean, to be failing in this time, really, we should take your picture and put somewhere to show people this is how not to live. It's free. The messages are free. If you want to download it, if you go to the website, it's free. You should eat them. You can't be broke and not have time at the same time. You don't have the luxury. A rich man can say he's busy. We can forgive him. It's not right, but we can. You now, you are broke. You still don't have time to pray. You don't have time to hear the word of God. Ah. You can't be so poor that you can't pay attention. Nobody can be that poor. If you can't pay money, you must have to pay attention. Come on, tell anybody here. Number three of the big four is the power of relationships. The power of what? Relationships. Ah! If you don't know this one, your journey on the earth will be tedious. Will be frustrating. Will be tough. Will be lonely. The power of relationships. Even God says, let us. So he's not a solo God. The Almighty God had a team. He's all powerful. He could do it by himself. But he knows that that's not the best way anything is being done. He said, let us. From the beginning, there was an us. Somebody get what I'm saying? I said, from the beginning, there was what? Us. Let us make man. I've seen from God that he values relationship. God said, I can't do this thing without telling my friend Abraham. Oh! The Almighty God, who will question him? Who will beat him? Nobody can bully him, but he has enough sense to know. This journey, you can't go alone. He said, how can I do this thing without telling my friend Abraham? Eh? God, you don't need, who is Abraham now? You don't need to take permission. But God said, that's not how relationships are done. There are some people you must tell before you make some kind of moves. Yeah? All this example I'm giving is God. The two examples I'm giving now is God. If the Almighty God needs help or needs people, how can you be a solo man? Or a solo woman? I don't need anybody. I'm a self-made man. There's no such thing, sir. Every man is a product of different people's inputs. Different people. Hallelujah. Whether directly or indirectly. There's no self-made man. Everybody is drawing from somewhere. Is somebody getting this? So the more solo you are cutting yourself off from all the benefits. There is nobody that has everything. That's how God did it. You have areas you are good at, but you have areas you are not good at. So that way we all should interact. I did an Instagram live yesterday on celebrity marriages, and I was explaining some things about celebrities or people that are famous. It's one of the reasons why they have a lot of crisis in other areas of life. Because they want to transfer greatness from one area to another. What I mean, if you're a great musician, you're a star. Hey, everybody's singing your praise everywhere you go. 30 billion, everything. That's great. You might not be great in financial management. So that your stardom in music, you can't transfer that rank to finances. You need to also consult somebody gifted in financial management. You might be gifted in acting, but you might not be gifted in marriage. So you might need to consult on that person gifted in understanding marriage to also help you. You can't say, oh, I'm great. I like boxing. So I saw Mike Tyson those days. They interviewed him one day. You know Mike Tyson? He used to beat people round one. Knock people out. He was one of the baddest boxers. They interviewed him one day. He said, I'm the greatest. I'm so good. I'm so great that anything I do, it's going to be great. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I'll be great in anything. Mike Tyson, you are great in boxing. Don't confuse that to me. You are great in everything. Nobody is great in everything. But people believe their own hype because they are so great in one thing, they think they are great in everything, and that's the beginning of their downfall. By the time Mike Tyson stopped boxing, he became a rescue project. Why wasn't he great in everything after that boxing? He was doing pigeon show, pigeon. Was broke. But when he was still champion, he said, I'm great. You can't be great in everything! That's why you need people. You must always need people. Nobody's great in everything. Don't confuse the fact that you're great in one thing to mean, hey, I have it covered. Carry your shoulder. Nobody can talk to me. Nobody can. I don't need anybody. Life will humble you. Everybody needs somebody. Tell your neighbor, everybody needs somebody. The earlier you know it, the better for you. Somebody getting this? The power of what? Relationships. Luke chapter 5, there's that interesting story. Luke 5 from verse 17. Where they said Jesus was teaching in a certain place and certain teachers were gathered. They said the house was full. And there was this guy that was leprous, was paralyzed. He had four friends. He had what? Four friends. Oh, there must be people in your life. There must be people in your life that sees your life like their own life. If you don't have that, you are of all men most miserable. If you don't have people you can call and they show up, you are of all men most miserable. Because you will need it one day. This guy was paralyzed. It was his moment of opportunity. Jesus was in town. He got there, there was a crowd. But his four friends carried him on top of the roof. His four friends tore the roof of somebody's house. They don't know the person. I'm sure people came and said, you are tearing somebody's roof. They say, we will pay. You must have friends like that. Hallelujah. That in the day of your challenge, they can vouch for you. They can say, hold me responsible. Hey, many don't have it. See, if you ever need to beg strangers for help, it means you are bad with relationships. Because the way God has organized it, the day you ever need help, there must be people already around you. If you have been practicing the friendship well, whenever I see a strange person I've never met begging me for money, I don't answer them because I know this one, he has. If you are 20 years old or 25 years old and you are a stranger begging me for money, where have you been for 25 years, sir? No family? No friends? No schoolmates? No nothing? It's me you want to beg at 30 years old? It means you are doing something wrong. To need to beg somebody you have never met for help. People send me messages every day. Unknown people. Pastor, help me. I begin to ask them important questions. I say, where do you live? Who is your pastor? Where is your church? You must belong somewhere. There might be somebody that knows you and knows that you're not a beggar, that you're just in need. If you just appear from nowhere, I've never met you, you're just beginning, you're a beggar. It means it's what you do for a living. And I won't answer you. I don't support such rubbish habits. Those of you that give money to people you don't know just anyhow without checking, you are encouraging those people. There's an industry now. You're encouraging them. Encouraging them. They won't do any work. They'll keep begging. If you ever need to beg total strangers, what about the people that have been in your life since? Those four guys carried them up. They tore somebody's roof. They harassed them. They said, we will pay for the roof. Don't worry, sir. We'll fix your roof for you. But this guy needs to see Jesus. Dropped him there and he got healed. The power of friendships. The power of relationships. When God wants to bless you, he will always use people. That's why you must be good at relationships. Hey, God will always use people. The more people you have, the easier it is for God. God is not a magician. I've taught you that. Many people assume God is a magician. He can do anything he likes. Eh? He follows principles, sir. The more people you have in your favor, the easier it is for God to send you money. If you're a quarreler, a fighter, a brawler, everybody God wants to use around you, they all say never. Never. That boy, he insulted me yesterday, just yesterday here. Yeah. Never. See, in this life, even when you are good, there are already enough people that hate you. You now want to be a bad person. You don't need that much enemies. This life can be more interesting when you have more friends than enemies. The enemies, even though you can succeed, the enemies can frustrate your whole life and make life tough for you. Somebody get what I'm saying? Do you know, even if you have 10 people singing your praise, if one person insults you, you can cancel the 10 people singing your praise. That one will just pain you more. Am I correct? You know, usually your haters are a small number compared to your lovers. But those small hatred can spoil your whole day. Come on, tell anybody you need friends. So, if God wants to bless you, He always uses people. Your dreams can't come to pass except by the medium of relationships. That's how God will bring it to pass. Somebody knows something that you need to know. Somebody has something that you need to have. That's how it works. What you need is with somebody else. So, your miracle is dependent on your relational skills. What you need is with somebody else. It's not with you, it's with somebody else. So, relationship helps. I will give you a few tips to be an expert or a master of relationships. Number one, don't be a user. Don't be what? User. There are too many people that are users. Everywhere they are going, they are always thinking what they can gain. That's their logo. That's their slogan. What's in it for me? Or what will I gain? Go to church, what will I gain? Come for prayer meeting, what will I gain? Let's go and visit a member of church, what will I gain? Let me tell you something. There is always gain when you bless another person. Always. Sometimes the gain is not obvious. But if you are living your life to only see gain before you do something, you will never do things for the right people. Because sometimes it's not obvious to the eyes. It's hidden for only people that have good hearts. Somebody gets what I'm saying? Don't be a user. Too many people are users. They will use you and forget you. They will use you and dump you. Users. If they are not going to gain something, they can't be part of it. If they are not going to get something from it, they can't be part of it. Hallelujah. Don't be a user. Don't be a selfish person. The Bible says, more blessed to give than to receive. That's not only talking about giving offering in church. It's a general principle of life. That is more blessed to be the person doing for somebody than being the person they are doing for. At any level you are, look for opportunities to be a blessing. Does somebody get what I'm saying? At any level. Oh, let me just slide this one in, sir. Please, if by any means you find, but this is how you know that you have traits of being a user. If you find yourself anywhere where there's somebody richer than you doing something for somebody else, and you are also part of that responsibility, put in your own small money. Let me explain what I mean. Mr. Shukwana is a millionaire. That's confirmed. So listen, he's a millionaire. He's richer than all of us in the office, let's say in this office, and or in the department in church. And it's afternoon and it's time for lunch, and we have something we have to do together in the evening. And we say, let's not go home. Let's all stay. Let's go and have lunch together. Listen, if we go to the lunch together, Mr. Shukwa is a big millionaire, big billionaire, everybody knows. The tendency is, all of us, when it's time to pay, all of us will be, we'll be checking our phones. Am I correct? That's the natural tendency. Because we believe, since he's richer, he should pay. That attitude will forever keep you poorer. When you are in those places, sir, even if he wants to pick the bigger part of the bill, say, let me pay for the drinks. It's a smaller part. If it was a place where they give tip, say, let me give the tip. If you are paying for the whole, put something. That's what I'm saying. Don't be the person being, I will receive free. That's how to stay poor. It's more blessed to be the one giving. There's more blessing attached to being the one giving than to be the one. The receiving one stays poor. The giving one goes up. Maybe in your family, they want to do something for your parents. One of your brothers is very rich. So only him comes and say, we're buying a car, I'm going to buy the car. Tell him, let me pay for the license plate. At your size, there must be something you can contribute. Don't let anybody, anywhere you are involved with, take all the opportunity of giving. You might not be as rich as them, but there must be something.
Fight for that small something to give, because that's where the blessing is. But the average person will say, Brother John is here. Brother John will pay. And you'll be smiling. You will stay poor that way. Contribute your small quota. Your parents might be richer than you, but the covenant says you must honor them regularly. So if it's fruits you can buy fruits to the house. What at your level? Don't say, my father is rich. He said, I'm the one he should be giving me. That's why you won't go up. You are married now in your house, you are still collecting from your parents. Instead of giving them, at your small size, give them. There will be something you can buy for them. Even if they are rich. Is somebody getting what I'm saying, sir? It's more blessed to give. You serve these relationships by giving. Don't be a user. I have to move quickly. Number two, be humble. Tell your neighbor, be humble. You can't go far with relationships if you can't be corrected. If people can't talk to you. I shared the story of Naaman some weeks ago. Remember the story of Naaman? A general. Naaman was a commander in Syrian army. Practically the minister of defense. If you know anything about military, my brother is a major general, so I've lived in the barracks with him before. I understand military. And I went to a military school command, so I understand military. If the commander-in-chief is moving, there's escort, there are vehicles, there are soldiers ready to impress the Oga. That's why they will beat you out of the road. They want to impress Oga. So Naaman was a general, but he was leprous. I've told you that the things you need, they're in the hands of somebody else. It might be information, it might be whatever. It's in somebody else's hand. If you are too proud, they won't tell you. They will even think you're okay. You are pretending to be okay when you are not okay. There are many people that are experts are pretending. How are you? Okay. Do you need any help? No, we are fine. You are not fine. Tell them. See, if you have friends or people around you that are doing well in something and you're not doing well in it, stop pretending all is well. Go and meet them and say, guys, what's happening? You can't be perpetually broke. All your friends are blessed. They know something. Somebody get what I'm saying? And it takes humility for that information to come out. If you're already pretending you're okay, they won't tell you. They will assume you're fine. Somebody get what I'm saying? They will assume you're okay. That's why many people that stay around well, people doing well and are not doing well, if you check it, they are proud. When they are around those people, instead of them to humble themselves and learn, they are trying to claim that they are on the same level with those people. So one will say, I'm going to contribute 500 million. No, say, okay, I'll contribute 250 million. So you, what do you contribute? You know you are not at their level. You say, I'll think of 100 million. But you know you don't have it. They'll start calling you now, you won't pick phone again. Because you are trying to rub shoulder with them. That's a good time to call them aside and say, guys, what's happening? How are you guys doing this thing in this economy? What's going on? And they'll show you the way. Once they see your humility, they'll be more moved to helping you. But when you pretend that you're okay, but you're carrying shoulder, if you're carrying shoulder, we are mates. There's no mates in life. There's no such thing. Say we are classmates. Eh? The classmate ends inside class. After class, there's not like life mates. Because you went to the same school, and you are seeing that the way he's moving, and you say we are mates. There are some people that call you their friend. You should call them your mentor. It will help your life. I have people like that. I call them my friend. They say, Pastor, you're not my friend. Pastor, you're not my friend. You're my mentor. And I see grace pouring on them as they do that. So stay humble. Naaman, big army soldier. He got to his house one day. I've been leprous for many years. He's slave, housemaid. Imagine if he was the kind of person that can't talk to housemaid. He would have died a leper. The housemaid called him and said, come, let me help your life. Come. If it was some of you here, you have house help, you torture her. You go to an office for something, you don't greet the security people where you just march. Those people can help you one day. So when you enter a new office, you're going to get contract, whatever, start greeting from the gate. Greet the security guys. Ask them their name. Sometimes you can find them something. Say, hey, I'm going to take some and take coke. How are you? How work today, man? When I see this son, you are going to meet the MD, but you need these boys.
You enter there, you meet the clerk or whoever, the secretary, greet her well. Ask her her name. Tell her what network does she use. Can you buy her credit? Or whatever. Just be friendly. Even if you don't buy her anything, be friendly. Ask her how her day is. If she wears something nice, say, oh, I love this, your top. This is good. Be friendly. Don't just carry your face. You're here to see the MD. One day, you will enter their trap. And they will humble you. Are you here, somebody? The power of relationship. Let me move quickly. I'm consuming my time. Be humble. So they told Naaman, there's a prophet somewhere that can help you. So Naaman humbly took the advice and went to see that prophet. As a general, he went to his entourage. Escort vehicles, everything. Woo, 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 woo. Went siren. He got there. The prophet didn't come out. You don't know what that means, sir. That was a state visit. You should come out and take picture with him. It's a big event. He came with escort, soldiers. They salute. Open the door. Salute. If you know anything about soldiers. As the car parked, they salute the car first. Then hand, then they open the door, they salute again. Then when you pass, they close the door, they salute the car. Even though you have passed. Soldiers can salute when they want to impress their guy. General. They will just be saluting. Naaman came down. General. Escort. Siren. The prophet didn't come out. The prophet sent his boy to tell that great general to go and jump inside lagoon. Go and jump in lagoon. He pained Naaman. DJ, can you find the place? He pained him. See, there's a way you are used to being treated with respect. When you're a general, there's nowhere you go, people don't respect you. So the slightest disrespect or the slightest thing that looks like they say, it will pain you more than normal because you are used to being respected everywhere. You wake up to salute in your house. Then imagine this prophet sending his boy. How dare you? Infringement. You don't understand, that's fine. He says, go and jump into the lagoon. I want to know the Naaman responded. Where he acted. DJ, give me where Naaman reacted. He says, but Naaman was what? Wroth. He was very angry. He said, and went away and said, behold, I thought he would come out and stand. We'll take picture, cameraman. I thought he would come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord and strike his hand. Pow, pow, pow. It's me now, Naaman, General Naaman. So you see, he was angry. See what happened. Next verse. Quickly. He said, and Abana and Pharaoh, rivers. He said, don't I have better rivers in my area that will go and jump inside lagoon? He said, so he turned away in what? Rage. He was very angry. Next verse. He says, and his servants. You see, this guy had the culture of relating with his servants. That's what saved him. He would have died a leper. He came here because his servants told him. He also succeeded at the last minute because his servants were able to advise him. Imagine if he's kind of a guy that servants. Some of you have staff, they can't talk to you. Your word is law. One of my senior mentors, I didn't even know how to tell him. I was still finding a way to tell him. Let me not say what he did because to be somehow. But some of you, there are ways you treat your staff. Just call them, boy, a grown man working for you. You just insult him, say, this boy is useless. Hey, there's somebody that has children. Or that is old enough to have children. Say, this boy is useless. You even let your children talk to your staff anyhow. You are teaching them disrespect. 8-year-old girl, 6-year-old girl is talking to a grown man and saying, John, come and wash the car. Ah! Come and carry the plate. Because that riches you think you have, it can disappear. And that child can be thrown into the outside, into the world. And she will have no respect. And she won't go far because relationships require respect. Let's move on. So basically, the servants told him, if the man had said you should do something more difficult, won't you do it? They advised him. And he went to do it and he became healed. His servants were the ones that advised him. So be humble. Tell your neighbor, be humble. Anytime you stay broke perpetually for a long time, you're not humble. Because there are people making it. Oh. Next month, we're going to talk about finances particularly. I will read testimonies to you. There are people making money in Nigeria. Oh. Forget this poverty thing you are claiming. Oh. We agree the economy looks tough, but that shouldn't be your story. You are in a covenant with God. You have to key in. Let me move quickly. Next one, learn to be nice to people. Do good for people. All right? Practice doing good for people. God will always position you to help people. So wherever you find yourself, help people. You will always know when it's an opportunity to help somebody. Most times they might never ask you. You will just discover a need or that somebody needs help. And you will know it's your God-given opportunity. God will present those opportunities to you. Sometimes family members, sometimes people that are not family, but you'll be in a position to help them with something important. Go ahead and plant those seeds. It's very important. You are planting those seeds so that the day you too will need help. The help might not be the same kind of help, but every human being will need help one day. It might be somebody recommending you, might be somebody speaking for you, might be somebody waiting for you, might be somebody opening a door for you. So always plant seeds. Look at what the Bible says. Ephesians 6:8. Ephesians 6:8. See what the Bible says. It says, Ephesians 6:8, guys. It says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he what? Receive of the Lord, whether he be born or free. So they are saying, do good things for people. That whatever good thing you do, you will receive the same thing of the Lord. Now, they didn't say you will receive it from the person you did it for. Many people do good for people and they are waiting for that person to do the good back to them. That's not the Bible principle. Many people do good for people and they go about bragging. I'm going to help that man, if not for me. They are looking for glory. Mm-mm. When you help people, leave them and they help. God says, now I'm the one that owes you and I will recompensate you. Are you getting this? So the Bible is saying the principle here is not the people you do something for that will do it back for you. Sometimes it's other people or other places where you need help. So don't do something for them, waiting for the person. No. Do the good. Sometimes the person you are doing good for is not even in a position to ever help you. So don't disturb yourself. But the moment you do that good, they say God is now owing you. That you will receive it of the Lord. Is somebody getting that? Whatever good thing you do, knowing, you must know that you will receive it of the Lord. Many times in your life, when you find out that you were in their need and somehow mysteriously help came, if you check it well, there were times you also planted seed in the past. That was just a harvest coming. That's what God wants. God wants you to plant so much seed so that the day you are in a dire need, he will have a reason to bring you a harvest. Hebrews 13. So somebody said, but how do I know who to do it for? Anybody you can find, just do good for them. Because sometimes you won't know the one that is the major one. Hebrews 13 from verse 1. DJ, quickly. See what the Bible says here. It says, let what? Brotherly love continue. That means keep loving people. See the next verse. It says, be not what? Forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have done what? Entertained angels unawares. Who are angels? Angels are not just people that have wings and wear white garments. Angels are people that bring a message from God for you. So, as you keep blessing people, one day you will bless the person that has a blessing also for you. It might be the person you will marry. Rebecca, when she was giving water to Isaac's servant, she didn't know that was the servant of her husband. She was just being good to that guy. There are many women that have lost their marriage, or the person they should have married, because they saw one guy that was wearing slippers. They thought, you say, you see, I'm wearing slippers, it can't be. So you just treat him. There are women that do that. They first size you out before they determine whether they're polite to you or not. Some guys, you know what I'm talking about, Abby? Once you say hello, they will look at you from head to toe. And women, their eyes are fast, so they will size you up quickly. In that split second before they answer. And by the time they go from your head to your shoe, they will determine the answer you will get. Then, if your shoe shows that you have been trekking, that you don't have car, because I can't marry somebody that doesn't have car. But you see the thing, some people have car, but it's still inside them. It's not yet physically manifest. It might manifest a few weeks from now. So you have missed an opportunity for a guy that will make it. Just because he has not made it. You're waiting for the one that's already made it. So that's why many women are dating married men. Because they are chasing people that have made it already. You don't want to follow single men like you. Single people like you. That don't yet have it covered. You don't want to contribute to anybody's success. That was raining now. You want to marry finished products. That'll be giving you car every month. Thank you.
It's the same greed. It's greed. You don't want this. All these young boys that can't even buy credit, you don't want them. Some of them are going to be the millionaires of tomorrow. You are missing great opportunities. You are missing chance to entertain angels because they don't look like it now. All right, let me move quickly. Next point. Please, my time is up. Please avoid gossip. Avoid gossip and spreading bad blood. You can't be great at relationships if you're a gossiper or a gossipy. They are both bad. Whether you are the one spreading the gossip or the one receiving the gossip, all of you are licensed or sentenced to the same punishment. Bad blood, bad vibes, beef. Those things won't allow you to prosper. I want to read you some scriptures on gossip. There are many, but no time. So many, but no time. I don't have time. There are many. Exodus 23:1. It said, do not spread false reports. Do not help a guilty person by being malicious. James 1:26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. James 4:11. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or a sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting on judgment. Leviticus 19:16. Do not go about spreading slander among people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor. There are many. Proverbs 10:18. Whosoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. there are so many. Proverbs 10:19. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent holds their tongues. Proverbs 11:9. With their mouths, the godless destroy their neighbors, but through knowledge, the righteous escape. Proverbs 11:13. A gossip betrays confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. There are many. I don't have time to read it. The point is, look, you can't be a gossiper or a gossipy and still carry faith. You can't. And still carry God's presence. You can't. God hates people that plant discord among brethren. It's not everything you see or everything you hear that you must say. Some things must end with you. Some things you should even tell the person, delete the thing now. Delete it now. It must end here. And you must not discuss it anywhere else. You must practice that. Spreading story. If you have ever seen a gossiper that prospers, please show me the person. I'm yet to see one. They never amount to anything. Because they are busybodies in other people's business. Are you here, somebody? Let me move quickly. Because I've said this, but words affect you. Don't say, oh, tell me, it won't affect me. You must be a joker. You were created to be affected by words. So even sometimes when they talk about you, you shouldn't even hear it. To affect how you relate to the person. You'll be carrying hatred all over your heart. Are you here, somebody? So it's not even, things they say about you, you don't even need to hear. And don't be the person causing factions. I see people doing that. You are in a group, then you still go and form your own separate group. How do you live? How do you sleep? You don't understand. You must always be supporting the major aim of the organization. Not that you go and so. Don't be that person in the office too. You're always getting factions. You join your own group, form your own group inside the group. A lot of people do these things. Don't be that person. Be faithful wherever you are. Be faithful what? Wherever you are. If you're in a department, be faithful. If you're in church, be faithful. How can you be? That's what I'm saying. You can't be in a church or in a department or wherever and people can't really vouch for you, can't really depend on you. If you're somewhere, be there. Be one of the people they can count on that this guy is going to be present. We can depend on him to solve this thing. When you make pledges, redeem it. Whether it's pledge of money or pledge to do an assignment in the group that I'm going to check on this thing. Go, you see, be a faithful person. There are too many, I don't have time to read all this thing. There are too many blessings to being faithful. The day they want to promote, they will look for the faithful person. There's a big assignment they need the best person to do. He's a faithful person. That's how David got a job and Joseph got a job. Say, who can we find somebody as smart as you? Say, it's only Joseph. Because he didn't keep malice with his bosses. He didn't keep malice with his brothers. They all offended him. He didn't hold it to them. Somebody get no time to talk about this. So be faithful. If you are serving somewhere, let them know you. You know there are people that have never been committed in the church since they gave birth to them. There are some people that see. Let me teach you something quickly. I've seen many people do those rubbish. When God plants you in a church, serve there. The only time you must leave is if God tells you to leave. And be sure that it's God, not somebody annoyed you. Not that you don't like pastors preaching. Or they preach against you. That's rubbish. I've only attended two churches in my whole lifetime. This is the third one, which I'm not going anywhere. The first one was where I got born again. And I got born again there, serving the Lord there. The pastor, his way was not, his way was somehow. And I won't go into details. I had many friends that were saying, let's leave. And they were gossiping. I said, God planted me here. So I'm going to stay here till I get under instruction. In fact, I've only been in two churches. I said three. It's only two. That one and this one. I just stayed. All my friends, they got angry. They fought the church. They fought the pastor. Fought the church. They left. And a lot of those people, they are still stranded now. Because if God plants you somewhere, you can't leave until he's ready to plant you somewhere else. When you uproot a tree and you don't have a plan to plant it somewhere else, what's going to happen? It's going to dry up. That's how many people are. There are many dried up Christians. Every week you're in a new church. They are not in this church. You moved on. I've seen people that were ministers in this church. They left now. They are ushers somewhere. They are in traffic. Not that it's bad. I've been in traffic. But I'm saying you must be growing. Not going down. Because you're angry. Somebody offended you. There is a divine destiny for you. You must be able to say at the end of your life that I am part of those that built this church. That's how it should be. Not that they annoy you this one, you go to the next one. They annoy you, you go to the next door. You think that's how they're doing this thing? So which one will you say you built? You are just a visitor. You are a guest. That's your calling. I'm a guest member of different churches. One day you must grow beyond the person visiting to the person inviting people. You must grow beyond the person receiving to the person giving. After you stay in this church for a while, you should become a worker, a leader. So bless you. You shouldn't become church because you can't hear me. I'm not going to teach anything new. The same thing I teach, what I teach every year round. And that's how I see every church. If you go there for the first 1 year, you'll be excited. After the second year, you say, I've heard this from you. After the third year, you know, it's the same thing in this preaching. It's not the same Bible. Is there another Bible I have? It's not the same one. It's the same one. Every church has flavor. It's only when you're there for new that everything is new. If you're there for 2 years, you will know the message before they start. Yeah, go and rest. If you like any message, buy the message. Stay in your church and serve. Start and serve. You grow to where you are now giving. There are many people constipated because they're already receiving. They're not pointing out to any other person. And there are many new Christians that need somebody to encourage them. But you're not. You're always chasing where you get hear something new. It's only new for you for that time. If you go there long enough, you see that the person is saying the same thing in different ways. Every year round. I will now start looking for new things to preach inside the same Bible. It's only this Bible we have. The chapters are limited. The book, we all know it's a 6 book. How many books? It's how many? It's the same thing. The principles that work are known and are limited. Somebody get what I'm saying? I've heard you say that, my brother. I wasn't in church last Sunday. I'm just coming back. Let me be preaching first. Praise God. Pastor Media is not here, so nobody can harass me. Let me enjoy myself. So, sit down and serve. Praise God. Sit down and serve. So, I didn't leave that church, even though things were not so great there, but I was faithful, you see, because I'm not just faithful to a man. You must understand that. You're not faithful. Many people are not conscious of God. It's men. My HOD annoy me. My pastor annoy me. He won't be there when you're standing before God. He won't be there. They won't call him. You and God. And the assignment God gave you. I was there till God spoke to me about this ministry. That was the only time I left. I was there. A lot of things were going funny. I don't want to go into the gist because there's no time. My many people that were with me, they fought. They left. Most of them are still not planted anywhere till now. Because once you start that habit, everywhere. I've had one pastor for 20-something years. Renfemi has been my pastor for about 20 years. I can call him at any time and he will respond. Some of you have not invested enough to draw from people. You only see you once a year. then you want to draw the commitment of the church? Nobody will answer you. It's my birthday. Nobody came. Whose birthday have you gone? It's my birthday. They didn't call me. Who did you call on their own birthday? You have not planted enough seed to reap any harvest. And if in your department they're not calling people, then start the department or the service of calling people on their birthday. It's very easy. Be faithful. I have two more things. Let me touch it. Next one, rejoice with those that rejoice, mourn with those that mourn. So whenever people are blessed, be happy for them. Don't let it pain you. Don't be envious. Now, why is she getting married before me? Why is he buying car before me? Why did he get you? No. The Bible says, rejoice with them that what? Rejoice. Whenever somebody is blessed, rejoice with them. Whenever people are going through a hard time, don't laugh at them. Instead, feel their pain. Say, mourn with those that mourn. Last one. Always exit the way you enter any relationship. What I'm saying is that don't slam doors. Don't ever what? Slam doors. If you have to leave a place or leave a relationship, make sure you close the door gently. Because you might need to pass through that door another day. This life is so short. You'll be amazed that you need to pass that route again. So if you need to leave a relationship, leave a church, leave a department, leave something, make sure you close the door gently. Don't leave and be causing trouble. Because one day, you don't know what will happen. You will need to come back. Somebody gets what I'm saying? Always exit the way you enter. You enter with excitement. When you exit, you exit with excitement. Don't leave, exit with anger and fight. Somebody get what I'm saying? Many people, see, I'll end with this point because I don't have time. If I'm in a friendship with Mr. Shukwa the billionaire, let's say we're doing a business together, sorry, and we're partners, and we did it for 5 years. Listen, we did the business 5 years. Everybody here, you can apply it to anything. If you're in dating relationship, if you're in marriage, you can apply. The same principle works. I'm just using business. In that 5 years, how many of you know we would have blessed ourselves? There are many times on his birthday, I would have called him. I would have bought food for him. In that 5 years, he would have done some good things for me. If I'm about to exit that partnership and I slam the door, all the seed of that 5 years, they are gone. No matter how long you're in a relationship, if you exit it wrongly, any benefit you would have reaped is gone. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Any benefit you would have reaped is gone. But if you service that relationship well and you exit well, you can go back. And if you need something from them, you can go and say, hey, if you are the one that can help me do this, and they'll be glad. So always exit gently. Don't slam doors. Have you been blessed this morning?
I believe you had a great time in this service. Our church is based on the word of victory. God spoke to us and said, as David never lost a battle, that's how he's going to work with us. So we believe that a relationship with Jesus Christ gives you victory in every area of your life. We also believe that serving God can be fun. We're a very fun-loving church. And we believe that God helps to build our character. We believe that this will not be your last time here with us. And feel free, whenever you see me, to walk up to me and say hi. Our welcome team are available to answer any of your questions. Welcome home.